Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Hello, and welcome to the Inside EVs podcast for February the 10th, 2023. This is episode 149. Thanks for joining us. On today's show, we'll be talking about the debut of the much improved 2024 Mercedes eSprinter, Ford teasing a high-performance F-150 Lightning, and Nissan and Renault have renewed their alliance to boost EVs. I'm Dominic Ioni, Inside EVs forum moderator and Inside EVs editor. Joining us today is the extraordinary Mr. Tom Malogny, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. And of course, Kyle Connor joins us from the majestic, practically palatial halls of Out of Spec Studios, where he produces high voltage videos for a growing number of YouTube channels. Welcome, everybody.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Unfortunately, Martin is off to his countryside holiday cabin with his family this weekend, so he won't be joining us today. I don't think he does have a Starlink dish, actually, but the speeds he gets out there, I guess, are just too low to really work with the video, so it'll be a nice surprise if he manages to drop in at some point, but we're just going to carry on normally here with this stiff upper lip and all that. All right, so let's kick this thing off with what we've been driving this week and then get to the news. So Kyle, good morning. And you were driving all kinds of things this past week and got some entertaining videos out of it. Nokian, the Finnish tire maker, plowed out a big parking lot and a track for people to come and test out a number of cars that they had on hand. And then you show up with your own fleet of mostly electric vehicles belonging to you and your friends. You actually dedicated an entire video on the Kyle Connor YouTube channel to driving your smart ED. That's first on the summer tires and then on a set of winter Nokians. So maybe let's start there. So how big a difference was made, and what's special about the smart car that it deserves its like own video?
Well, let's start with the smart. You know, the smart electric's been one of my favorite cars because I love having cars that are fit for purpose, doing exactly the job at hand, which is just running to the store and back, running, you know, wherever. It has about a 50-mile range. I think we charge it once every week or two. It's a really, perfect vehicle. We've had it for almost 4 years, maybe over 4 years now. I've owned this vehicle. I bought it new in 2017 or 2018. And it's just one of those cars that we'll probably never get rid of. It's just been a wonderful machine. And, I had it on summer sort of tires that we could destroy, because this is the car that lived at the track in North Carolina for a number of years. We would use it for support. We'd run out if a car crashed in the smart, we'd go move cones with it. And so we really, this thing lived a really rough life just getting pounded around the racetrack every day. And now, moved out to Colorado, brought the car with us, and we needed to get it on snow tires, no question, out here in Colorado. So what we decided to do was actually to do the tire swap around the Nokian event that we were attending. And again, this was an event for mostly a couple journalists, but mostly their tire dealers, to really experience their tires so that, when someone's going at the counter to buy new tires for their car, they can at least explain, I've had experience on Nokian snow tires all season, all weather, et cetera. And it was really amazing. They gave us the track for a whole day. We had a whole out of spec day just because Nokian's one of our sponsors on the out of spec side. And they said, you know what, we're building the track. You get a whole day, bring all your friends, bring the whole situation, everyone from your team, and go send it. And so we drove the smart car on whatever tires we had on it, crappy tires. Of course, putting snow tires on it will make it better. It was never intended to be a real tire comparison, but just shows the difference of how much better a tire fit for purpose is. The snow tires made this thing a true rally car. It was awesome.
Right. The short wheelbase, did you mention that?
Yeah, really, really short wheelbase. We also, it's rear wheel drive, rear motor, and we have a full ESP traction control shutoff switch that we aftermarket wired in. So you can do huge skids in the smart car.
Right. Yeah, it looks like a blast. I actually watched this entire video and it was great.
It's actually so hard to drive that car on slippery surfaces because of the short wheelbase. So it just wants to spin instantly. And it was funny watching Drew drive this, Drew who owns Martian Wheels, because I'm really used to the smart car. I've been sliding around for 4 years. So like, I just know you have to be so fast on the wheel and it has such a slow steering ratio. But Drew took him like a couple seconds to be like, oh my God, what's going on here? And then he caught up to it. It was really, really something fun and just a blast. I love the smart car. One of my favorite cars that we have and one we're never going to get rid of. It's actually going in for some upgrades. We're going to do a little bit of a refresh on it here pretty soon.
Oh, nice. It's really nice to get out in a big plowed parking lot where you can't hit anything and just get a feel of like the dynamics of a car and on slippery surfaces like that too. It's like nothing really substitutes for like experience, you know, and just doing it and feel how the weight shifts back and forth and how it slides the car around.
Yeah, getting a car out on slippery surfaces, especially, you know, what I was most interested in, I love to go sideways. That for me is fun and playing around with all the cars, right? But to actually get our team out there, people who, you know, we have new hires that have never done any kind of performance driving yet. So it was great to get them out, get comfortable with cars in dynamic situations, get them tripped up, understand when cars spin, understand how to stop them from spinning all in a safe environment. It really helps, I would say our guys do a better job at evaluating cars because now they know where they can push them to a little bit more comfortably, how to get them out of a situation if they get crossed up. And each car is a little bit different as well. I shot some more videos there that haven't gone live. One I thought was really interesting, I'll talk about it here on the podcast, was the Rivian R1T versus the F-150 Lightning in a slippery snow situation. So it's really Rivian's four motor against Ford's dual motor situation. And I have to say the Ford won. The Ford had a better drivetrain control. It was so easy to just do like 80 mile an hour neutral skids in the F-150 Lightning. We did freak out the sensors on pretty much every vehicle. Like we had our Audi e-tron out there and it showed like suspension malfunction, motor malfunction. It went front wheel drive. All the lights came on and you just need to shut them off, turn them back on and they're fine. So we're like, okay, that's like weird. The Lightning did the same thing, which was funny. But
what Rivian tires did you have on the Lightning, Kyle?
We had the Nokian Hakkapeliitta R5. So the really aggressive snow tire, non-studded. And then the Rivian was on a different tire. That was on the 10 studded. It wasn't really a tire comparison as much as it was a drivetrain control comparison. But what I thought was interesting was the Rivian was on the more aggressive tire and it was faster around the track as expected because of the tire. But all of us preferred the Lightning in dynamic situations.
Right. So the other video when is this video coming out? The Lightning and Rivian video? Cause that's going to be good.
Yeah, probably on Saturday or probably Sunday, something like that. Yep.
Okay. So this weekend, subscribe to the Out of Spec Reviews?
Yep, that'll go on Reviews. Yep.
Out of Spec Reviews. All right. That's going to be awesome. So, but you did put another video out this week on the Out of Spec Reviews channel, and it features all the other cars pretty much to some extent. There are several Model 3s, the Audi Skitron, your Rivian R1T, a Mercedes EQS, a Chevy Bolt. Just like the whole spectrum there of cars. And of course, your pride and joy, the Renault Twizy.
Yes, so, we had the Twizy out there. It was so great.
So we don't need to get into like the nitty gritty of each car exactly, but maybe give us some of the highlights of some of them. Starting with the Rivian, because it had some weird behavior when you go full sideways and sit in the cross of Sony parking lot. like when you break over the what's it, the 180 mark? When
it's, yeah. Oh, yes. It's, this is the situation that won't affect any Rivian owners except for us. Basically, I like to do these, you know, maybe 30, 40 mile an hour, 360 degree rotations while moving in the same direction. It takes a lot of practice. And like, you know, I've done this over the years. I'm really lucky to have spent a lot of time on test tracks and cars to build up this weird, you know, sort of feel of what you can do with a car. And so I'm not going to say I'm the best driver by far. There's so many better drivers, but I like to move a car around. And so I'm always said I'm more comfortable sideways than straight. Well, in the Rivian, when you're going, you can do big drifts in the Rivian. That's easy. You know, you can do 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, full skids. And it's pretty good at that. Although we did have a couple suggestions for Rivian drivetrain tuning in our videos coming up. The problem with the Rivian is when you attempt to do a moving 360, which is, you know, get up to 30, 40 miles an hour, crank the wheel, full throttle, spin the car, then you want to come back the other way. As soon as you come across 90 degrees of rotation, when you go full opposite, you know, full opposite direction, parallel. What am I trying to say? It's parallel. What's the other way, Dominic?
Parallel.
Yeah, perpendicular. Thank you. As soon as you come perpendicular to your original path, the truck starts actually applying power to the wheels. And so it applies a ton of torque, It actually helps you rotate the truck on the rear axle, and then it'll throw itself into park, and it just locks down all the fun. So as soon as you come across about 90 degrees, what you need to do is stand on the brake pedal, try and get the wheels to lock through ABS, throw it in reverse, turn the wheel the opposite direction, floor it, and then you can spin the whole front end around back to the direction you were originally traveling back into drive. So,
and you demonstrate this. I'm not sure if we played this part at all, but you demonstrate this on this video close to the end here.
Yeah, it's going to pop up right here in a second, actually. So okay. You'll see, I can kind of walk everyone through if you're watching our YouTube audience here. you know, basically me saying it just threw itself into park. What just happened? Right. So that's Drew and I. We're in the R1T. This is the four motor system. So here we are building up speed, big steering input. I'm wide open throttle. Now I'm standing on the brake pedal, trying to throw it in reverse, back to wide open throttle, pulling the front around, back to drive, and you pull it straight. So we, you know, we're here to provide the real consumer advice. And so that's what we're doing here, at least.
That's basically stunt driving.
Right. I mean, on ice, it's very little. It's not harsh on the vehicle at all. I wouldn't recommend doing that on pavement at all. Just on ice, you can do pretty much anything and zero risk of, you know, the thing I like about it is it's really low risk on your mechanical components because there's no traction. So everything's under such little stress. And it was really fun. You know, really loved it. Had fun in the Twizy. We all thought that the Audi e-tron had unbelievable drivetrain control. Teslas with track mode were amazing, of course. And but actually, I think all of us were probably the fastest in the e-tron. We all felt that the Germans really knew what they were doing there, getting that car tuned properly.
Right. I thought I'd sort of throw out some Twizy footage here. Because that looks like a blast. And the windows doesn't have like windows, right? So
it's you just get snow coming straight in.
But even in your Smart, you're driving the Smart, you took put the roof down, there was like snow everywhere in the cabin. It was just a hilarious day.
It was just a blast. And I was actually there for almost 4 days straight doing this. And It was just the best week ever. So a little bit of a vacation personally to go slide around cars all week. It was really fun.
Right on.
Meanwhile, I'm so jealous. I'm looking at Kyle with all that snow and having fun. It's February, 10th now?
Yes.
We haven't had a half an inch of snow in New Jersey yet.
Wow.
And I can't remember going through an entire year. And I looked at the 10-day forecast, no snow. Now, that gets us to the end of February. It can snow in March, but usually we don't get a lot of snow in March. I had to talk to my dad, and we were talking about when he remembers a year in the 70s when we had no snow for the whole winter. And that might happen here this year. And it sucks because, as you know, I was talking to you guys about deciding which truck I was going to take. And I was like, I want to get it through the winter. I want to get both of these out in the snow. I want to see, you know, which one rides better in the snow. I haven't been able to do that yet. I bought an Ego electric snowblower so I can make videos and see how well that works. Snow Joe sent me one of their snowblowers as a loan. So I was going to do comparison videos and everything. Nothing. It's 62 degrees today here. It's February 10th. That's just nuts. I mean, I'm this is what I'm outside in, a sweatshirt. And
wow.
I was like warm. So I'm so jealous seeing Kyle spin it around out there. I haven't had chance to have any fun in the Lightning or the Rivian yet this year.
I'm in Florida and it's 63 degrees.
So it's almost warmer in New Jersey. It's crazy.
That's nuts. All right.
Yeah, it was just, Colorado up in the mountains, we got, we've had quite a bit of snow. It's been good. But, you know, one thing I think just to wrap up, you know, the point of this event for us was to go and have fun, of course, go slide cars around, talk about electric drivetrain control, talk about ESP calibration, all the stuff that I'm fascinated with. For Nokian, though, they put on the event to showcase their tires. This podcast is not sponsored by them at all. I've been driving on Nokian tires well before they sponsored us. I'm just a fan. So for me, it's really one of those ultimate partnerships of, you know, probably the highest quality, super premium snow tires that I've always loved. And it's always been a little bit of a club to be, you know, pull up next to someone on Nokian tires. It's great to have their support and now run Nokians on all of our cars. Thanks to them. And, you know, of course, have access to tracks like this. So really the two tires I just wanted to touch on this podcast, not that they're paying us to say anything about it, but I just think it's important for people to know the new R5, and which is their dedicated snow tire, and their new 10, Hakkapeliitta 10, both are Hakkapeliittas. That's a studded version. Basically have three versions each. There's a standard, there's an SUV, and then there's an electric adapted version. And I thought it was actually kind of interesting how they adapt their snow tires for EVs. They put an extra layer of rubber over the carcass before the tread blocks go on to handle the extreme torque loads of electric. So the blocks don't just fall over on themselves, so that it's an actual physical difference. And they also have a little bit different sidewall design. The tread blocks sit slightly wider to handle the extra weight. So it's not just they put a foam thing on the inside of the tire. They actually adapt the way the tire works for most electric vehicles. It's pretty cool. And so it's, you know, the foam on the inside's great. Loved the tires. They perform great. But I always recommend Nokian tires, of course, if you drive in cold weather.
Yeah. And I've never
sponsored this portion.
I've never owned Nokians, but every friend of mine that has owned them says they're the best winter tires they've ever owned. So, you know, it's true. Everybody tells me they're fantastic. Now, really quick, we have a comment up here from, I forget who left the comment, but somebody asked, Tom, is Tom going to any car shows anytime soon? I definitely will be at the New York Auto Show, which is the first week in April. And while the guy, I don't want to blow it and I don't want to jinx us, but I'm trying to organize a live Inside EVs podcast from the New York Auto Show. So don't count on it. We're not set yet, but we're trying to work out the logistics and see if we could do that. If it's possible, I already got the New York Auto Show to commit to allowing us to do it and giving us a space to do it. So if we do that, we'll let everybody know ahead of time and you can come and hang out with us, meet us and chat with us, you know, before and after the podcast. So that's probably the second weekend in April. So we're working on it, guys. We're hoping to do it. We always wanted to do a live podcast at some point so we can, you know, see some of our followers and, you know, hang out and talk with you guys and just interact. So look for more information on that upcoming. We're hoping to be able to put it together, but there's a lot of moving parts to this, as well as getting Martin here from the UK,
right?
Dom here from Florida, you know, get a Starbucks and drive here from Colorado overnight. I live 50 miles from New York City, so I can just drive there. So that's what we're hoping to do. So we'll update you guys on the podcast as we figure things out.
It'd be nice to be in the same room with all y'all and see Martin. Actually, I've never met Martin in real life before, so that'd be really cool. I like Martin a lot.
Martin might be a hologram. He might be surprised. He might not really even be a real person.
Right. Well, I think in Britain, if you're a hologram, you have to have like an H on your forehead or something. I don't know. That's a joke for fans of like Red Dwarf. It's an old sci-fi series that Robert Llewellyn was in.
Pardon? Before we continue on any of this, can we share the big news?
No, that's coming up. It's coming up.
No, Kyle, you're going out of order, Kyle. Stop it.
Because I still have, I need to ask, well, I want to talk to, because this is more a serious part, like because you had a lot of fun this week, but you also had a great serious video out. So you shared last weekend your first Rate Your Charge report.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. So for those who aren't aware, Kyle started a new thing called Rate Your Charge. So right now it lives mostly on Twitter, but EV drivers basically charge the cars and make a video or take pictures and share their charging experiences, good, bad, or ugly. You throw it up on Twitter and just tag at rate your charge. Let me just throw this up on the screen here. Present. So yeah, we really miss Martin actually today because
yes, but you're doing great.
Here we go. So right, so you just go to, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see we have the Twitter page up, rate your charge, or you also have a Google Doc in the description of this video. Actually, on the Out of Spectrum Reviews channel, there's a in the description there's a link to a Google Drive something. That you can also leave your reports and things if you're not using Twitter. So where are we at? So yeah, right now it lives mostly on Twitter. So you can take that, you then take this data and organize it to get a better look at the overall infrastructure situation. And then you're going to start giving weekly reports. And this is the first one. So I watched this video and I thought it was pretty informative, and I wanted you to give us a little rundown on how the various networks did.
Yeah, I can pull it up. Actually, I don't know if you can navigate over to Twitter and pull it up, but actually, yeah, we can do it here in this video because I took screenshots from it. Basically, every Saturday morning, we're going to release a report of all the check-ins that we received either from Twitter or from a Google form for those of you who don't use Twitter to put into a full report. Right now, of course, we're getting hundreds of check-ins a week. We hope to move that up to thousands here pretty quickly, but we're trying to figure out what to do with the data. This reporting process is just temporary. I've been meeting with app developers all week and last week before, and we're working on building out a full, fully integrated app. Now, all of you know how particular I am about how things work, so it's going to take us a while to get this right. So we're going to be dealing with this clunky system for a while. The whole goal of Rate Your Charge is for it not to exist in a number of years. We don't want this to exist in its current form for a long time, because the point of this is basically to say, I had a good charging experience, I had a bad charging experience and why, or I had a completely failed charging experience, weren't able to charge and had to turn around. Ooh. Now, there's a couple things I want to note here in the reports. Dominic, if you just move to the right a little bit in the video, keep going, you'll see some pie charts and stuff. And that's where we ranked. There you go. That's where we ranked the check-ins that we received this week. And so Tesla, of course, came in first place. I'm curious to see how long that lasts, though, especially as, you know, in the coming months, hopefully they open up to CCS. Uh-huh. I wonder if this will lead to some interoperability issues or things like that. So we'll have to keep an eye on what happens when the supercharger network opens. I'm fairly convinced it's going to happen here pretty soon based on the rumblings that I'm hearing. So that's why I'm talking about it a lot more, because I'm pretty confident it's going to happen here. And it's probably going to start at a few stations and expand out. I don't know. Nothing's been confirmed, but I think that's my feeling. Then ChargePoint in second place, although we didn't have many check-ins at ChargePoint. And again, we're just factoring in DC fast charging in America for this report. So we got a million check-ins at level two stations, but we're noticing a couple trends with ChargePoint where businesses, government buildings will purchase and install the equipment, but never commission it. So we've had numerous reports of people rolling up to ChargePoint, especially level two stations, and the stations are just offline. They've just never been turned on for years.
Wow.
And so this is a worrying situation. EVgo, pretty good, actually. Third place, quite a few check-ins, although I think we had some app inconsistencies there. And then some people noted very slow charging speeds where their battery packs were not the limitation. Now, again, we're relying on the general public for some of these, right? So there's always going to probably be some errors in the check-ins from time to time. That's why we require video, because if we see something weird in the video or if we're looking around, we check the temperature at the time of the check-in. Ryan Cassell talks about handles most of the Rate Your Charge stuff for us at the moment. Ryan will call me and be like, hey, Kyle, can you watch this video? Does the check-in make sense? You know, we're trying to do our best to verify with video, but we're dealing with the public. So it's not always going to be 100% accurate. And then unfortunately, in last place came Electrify America, even below the hodgepodge of every other third-party charging provider. And that's a bit of a shame to see. A lot of poor check-ins. We also actually are adapting the way that we handle our data, and we really want our viewers, our followers of Rate Your Charge to interact with us, tell us what you like, what you don't like about what we're rating. We're totally open to making this great. This was just our first report, our first go at it. We want to really make it right. But we noticed a ton of issues with the Electrify America app showing chargers were online when they actually weren't. And so we're going to get there and make, really dial in some things. For example, this week, if you have a station that two of four chargers are not working, half, that's now considered a bad check-in. If half the stalls aren't working, that's not great. Previously, right. We reported that as you're still good. It was three of four, we're down. That would be bad. So now we're trying to adapt. People were like, hey, that's a little bit too lenient. So we're going to cut it down to half the stalls not working as a bad check-in. Couple other things to note here. We started this Rate Your Charge on LinkedIn, sharing the report on there. Just one report, one post. Pretty much every head of every charging company and head of charging experience for every automaker is following. So we know we have the ear of the industry with this thing. And so we're really trying to do this right. We're not trying to, we're definitely not altering data. We're really trying to present what we're receiving. And right. I would say most people probably have a tendency to check in if there are problems rather than if you have a great charging session and just drive away.
It might skew the results a bit. The results might seem more negative than they actually are in the real world, but.
Yeah. But in worst case, the problems still exist. So get the problems, then great. Then the charge point operators can go fix those problems. But it is worth noting that out of a full thousands of people charging their cars every day in America, we're getting a very small subset of data at this moment. Mm-hmm. And we're getting, probably more complaints than positives in general. So it's all to be taken with a grain of salt. But the problems, if they report it, those exist. So those problems, are there.
Right. Yes. 100%, Kyle. It's kind of like when I owned my restaurant. People would reviews on Yelp and so forth. Went there last night. The chicken was overcooked, the pizza was burned, something like that. But, I serviced 300 people that day. And one person probably legitimately got a bad meal. And they're the ones that posted it. So you would, I was 0-for-1 on reviews that day. But it's because you're much more likely to complain about something because you feel like you shouldn't have to review something if everything worked as it's supposed to, because that's what it's supposed to do. I don't need to tell everybody, oh, wow, I got here and I charged, because these are charging stations. When you pull up, you're supposed to plug in and be able to charge without a problem. So everybody, I think, understands that. But Kyle, the one thing I will point out, you mentioned before that the right eyes are on this, and that's definitely the case. Some of the people that have been out there talking about charging, you for a long time, Brandon, Flash, myself, all the companies follow us and they are listening. And I'll give you a great example that just this last week, someone posted a picture of the broken J1772 rocker tabs that locked the charge. Was it Brendan? I forget who it was. Somebody posted on a charge point station. They were both broken. And this is, it's probably the biggest, pain point of charge point public chargers. That's what breaks. If something's going to break, that's what breaks. Same when I do my charger reviews here, when I drop them, if something's going to break, it's usually that rocker. So somebody posted it, and then I made a comment saying, look, it's a serious problem, and it's a worse problem on the ChargePoint network because ChargePoint doesn't own these units. So they can't roll a truck out to fix them. They're not even allowed to. It's not their property. So now the property owner is responsible for realizing that it's broken. You don't get an alert for something like that. You can get an alert if the whole station's down, but if something's physically broken, nobody knows. So, a lot of these property malls are management companies, they have no idea the thing's down. So it's broken for a long time. And so I commented, yes, a big problem with ChargePoint. Many of the property owners don't really care about it, or they realize that stations are losing money, so they're not going to pour even more money on it. They're almost like, well, good, it's broken. Now I don't have to worry about losing money every month on the demand fees and everything. So I posted that, and ChargePoint reached out to me. It was like, look, we understand there's a problem. We have a new chief operating officer, Rick Wilmer. He He saw your comment and he'd like to talk to you. So, which is, you know, which is what we want to see, you know, people that recognize people in the industry that are kind of on top of this and they reach out to talk to you rather than like, I'm not talking to that guy. He's a troublemaker, you know? So they
know those people who say that.
Yeah, we know. I don't want to go too much off of what I'm talking about, but we all know we got the announcement last week. Giovanni Palazzo stepped down as CEO of Electrify America. The new CEO is Rob Barajas. What's his name? Barroso. So who's been a friend to this podcast? He's come on the podcast.
He's great.
Did a good job. So, you know, who knows if there's going to be any change in direction, but it can't hurt. You know, so good luck, Rob. We wish you the best of luck. We hope you help right with the wrongs that are going on right now with the network. So, we're here not to kill you. We're here to support you, but we want chargers that work. So, we'd love to have you back on, you know, if you will, come on and chat with us about this. In any event, so I had the conversation with Rick Wilmer last night, called me up, talked for about 45 minutes. He's like, you know, give me some of your suggestions. Give me some help here. You know, we want to provide a better user experience. We're trying to do a better job. So we chatted about some things and we talked specifically about that one issue that seems to plague a lot of level 2 charge point chargers. And what he said was one of the first things he's worked on since he came was and recognized they know that's a problem, that those tabs break. They put out a new kit. It's like this small thing that fits over the connector and the installer spins it and it pushes out the pin so that it cut the cost of replacing that tab in half. So he's like, we're trying to figure out ways that it's less painful for site operators to get these things replaced. We don't want to have to come out and replace the cable and the whole connector just because a piece of plastic on the end, the tab is broken. So we came out with this new kit. It's going to cut the cost in half. It's a 5-minute replacement. You know, even I think the site operator can even buy this little kit if they want, and then they can just do it themselves. They don't have to roll an electrician. I think that's the case. But in any event, it was good that he saw that I complained about something. They reached out to me. They said, let's have a conversation. I don't have all the answers. Give me some of your answers, Tom. What would you do? You know, how would you improve things? And we're going to have a continuing conversation on this, which is good to see, rather than them blocking us and not wanting to talk to us.
Yes. So before we move on to something else, I just want to mention, Kyle, that you had another video. I'm not going to talk about this too much. So Kyle has a channel called Out of Spec Motoring, and it's more like travel video. So when he does like a long distance trips, you know, he puts a video up of the trip up on that particular channel. And this week you put up a video of a trip, I believe, to Norway. Was that it? Is the part 2 of the Epic Nordic Electric Road Trip. And that's great if you're in a mood for that kind of video this weekend. It is up there on that channel. So Tom, I don't believe you were driving any new vehicles this week, but you did go to an event to learn about a new website that General Motors has put together to help new EV drivers. And I believe that you are putting together a more comprehensive article and video about this, but maybe if you want to just give us a little overview of the site, because it's not like a typical kind of site. It's a really kind of a different approach, right?
Yeah. So, this isn't brand new. They actually had a soft enough, GM launched a website called EV Live. And it's an interactive website where you go to EV Live. You guys can go on it and take a look at it. And it's basically meant to. What's that?
Sorry, I was just going to say it's evlive.gm.com. It's a weird URL. Okay.
Right, but if you just Google EV Live, that's going to be the first thing to come up. I'm pretty sure. But in any event, it's meant to answer questions and help educate people about electric vehicles. Pretty much anything: charging, battery life. You know, whatever questions you might have. So you can go on this site and you can kind of play around with it yourself. But then if you want to talk to somebody, you click on chat with somebody and they pop up on the screen. They're live and it's a video. It's a one-way video. They can't see you. You can see them.
Oh, nice.
And now you can ask them questions and then they'll walk around the EV Live studio and they have interactive touch screens. They have a chassis of I think it's a Lyric with the batteries and everything, so they can show how like a skateboard design is and how the modules interact. Now, of course, it's going to be, even though they said this is brand neutral, like if you're interested in buying a Ford or a different EV, you can call them up and ask them questions. They're not going to, you know, try to steer you into getting their brands. But, you know, right. They do talk a lot about the Ultium battery pack and why it's so sure. great, which is fine, you know, but, you know, that if you want to ask some questions about public charging, I'm going on a road trip. I own a Hyundai Ioniq 5. I'm going on a road trip. I'm really worried about charging. People say you have to warm the battery up, you know, things like this. Now, they might not be able to tell you how to go into your settings and initiate battery preconditioning on your way to a DC fast charger if it's not their product, but they'll explain why you might want to precondition, because it'll cut down your DC fast charging times and proper battery health, you know, charging at home. I'm going away on a vacation. We get this question a lot. I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks. What should I do? Should I plug my EV in? Should I leave it at 80%? Do I, you know, what's the best policy? So they'll be able to answer all those questions. And I think this is good because we need more education. Don't forget, yeah. we're at 6% adoption right now in the US.
Right.
You know, 6% of the new cars are EVs. 94% of the people made a conscious decision this year to say, I don't want an EV. And buy a different one. So, you know, even though a lot of people out there are learning about EVs, we still have, you know, a Herculean effort in front of us to educate people on charging, on kilowatt hour, on CCS, on CHAdeMO, on Tesla. There's so much that's needed. So for a brand like GM to say, we're gonna build out the studio. It's going to be live for, I think, 12 hours a day. We're going to staff it. We're going to answer your questions. We're going to, you know, whatever you have. And if we start getting backlogged, we'll bring in more staff. And, you know, I think that's a good thing for the industry. So I'm good on GM. I'm actually going out next week. I haven't set the date yet. And I'm going to be live in the studio myself. Maybe I'll take a few questions when people call in. But
yeah, let us know when you're doing that. So we'll call in.
Let me do that. But I'll
I'm calling in if Tom's manning the phones.
That's right.
We're gonna get the tough questions going here.
Yeah, exactly. And but it'll be fun. I'm gonna interview their EV of their VP of EV ecosystem. And you know, we're gonna have a nice time out there and talk about it, because this is right up my alley. As you guys know, I've been doing EV education for many, many years now. I've trained dealers. We have a 1-888 hotline at Plug in America where people can call and ask questions like on the spot if they're at a dealership and so forth. So I've been doing this very on a much smaller scale for many years now. And I think it's part of the reason why they invited me to this. And I'm excited about it because we need this. We need more. We need education on all kinds of levels. You know, we need, you know, real high level stuff talking about when you're DC fast charging, battery temperatures and voltage and amps and all that stuff. That's really important. But we also need baseline education that sometimes I think all of us forget, because we're like, oh, you know, I learned that 8 years ago. But we have to remember there's so many people out there that are starting from ground zero. They know nothing about EVs. They don't know what a kilowatt is. You know, they don't know what a kilowatt hour is. They're used to a gallon of gas. And think about it, a gallon of gas, it's so easy to explain what that is. I mean, you buy a gallon of milk. You can visualize a gallon of gas. How do you visualize a kilowatt hour? How do you explain that to someone? You know, it's hard. It's not easy. And then you throw into the whole mess, you know, public charging with different connectors and the station's not working and everything. So, you know, there's a lot of education. There's a lot of help we need to provide in this transition to electric. And I'm happy GM is investing a lot of money and effort into doing this. Good on them for doing this.
Or you could just subscribe to Out of Spec Guide, and every day you'll have easy to understand episodes on basic EV topics.
That's true. You do have I don't think we've talked about this channel. Have we talked about your EV Guide channel?
No, I don't think so.
Wanted to give us a quick elevator spiel?
It's not for any of the Inside EVs audience, but if you have friends who don't understand electric cars, Max is the host of this channel. The goal is for daily episodes. We have been doing it. And it's all about basic EV topics. For example, we had one which was, why does my electric car charge slowly in the cold? And, you know, I would never put a video title as a question. So it was actually called, if you road trip an electric car in a cold temperature, watch this video or something like that. But yeah, we explained like, hey, yeah, it's going to charge slow if your battery's cold. Here's how you can warm it up. And yep, just very basic stuff. Here's how to, we do a lot of, here's how to activate a ChargePoint charger. Here's how to activate an Electrify America charger. And we start at most basic. Like we always say, if someone's stuck at a charger, this is the video we want to pop up first, because right away we're just like, plug in the car, tap your credit card here. If that doesn't work, here's how you set up the app. If that doesn't work, here's the number you can call. So we walk everyone through each of the, you know, least aggressive to most, I would say, in terms of activating chargers as one of the series. It's awesome. I'm thrilled with it. The response has been wonderful. I know we've helped a lot of new EV owners learn about their cars. We even explain on popular models how to start them, how to turn them on, how to see your state of charge, how to drive them. So very right. Basic education. Yeah.
But needed. It's necessary stuff. Like a lot of like, yeah, like people are borrowing people's cars, you know, like, you know, parents are borrowing their kids' electric cars. And there's all kinds of situations coming up where, you know, people are getting in the cars and they have no idea how they actually work. Really, just kind of.
It's also for the people that are maybe thinking about getting an EV as their next car. They're 6 months out, they're 8 months out, and they're like, how do you even drive these? So they'll search, you know, how do you use ChargePoint? How do you do this? And they'll find, you know, Kyle's channel giving them baseline information. Now, a lot of my followers, as far as charging, are baseline. And I key myself to that. I try to talk slowly and repeat myself about, you know, why you want to do things and everything. And that's very important that we do this, because as we said, I know the Inside EV audience is sophisticated electric vehicle enthusiasts. A lot of them are, but we're a subset of a subset, guys. You know, the vast majority of the people out there are really need help with this stuff. And it's important that we provide it.
There's probably only, let's just say, 2 million people on the planet, something like that, that really want the nerd data. That's what our views are telling us, roughly. You know, the more mainstream we go, the better viewership there actually is. So I'm taking the Out of Spec Reviews channel and going nerdier as we launch the Out of Spec Guide channel to help with the majority of people.
Well, that's good. You cover all the bases.
Right. Before we go on, I just want to mention too that Tom, you have a review of the EV Charge home wall unit coming out this week, tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah, the Evo Charge. I might even get it up today. The video's done. I just haven't had time to post it. Everything. I might get it up today. I have one here. This is what it looks like. That it's Evo Charge.
Okay.
I've seen those.
Yeah, it's getting pretty popular. I like how thin and small it is. And
it's small and light, right? That's one-handing this.
I'm a fan of the small, lightweight, compact units. There's really no need to have these giant units. You know, take up so much real estate on the wall. So that's one of the positives for this. They make three versions, and I got all versions of them just to try them all out. The 32-amp dumb charger, the 32-amp smart, the 40-amp smart. So I've been using them all for the last 3 weeks here, just interchanging them. And the full review's coming up today. There were some failures in the review, which, you know, I don't root for any failures, but in my tests, I seem to find things that fail. And, you know, so that'll be interesting, I think, for people to check out. And I've been saying I have to try to get these reviews down, because my reviews are like an hour long. Of a charger, and it's like I said I'm gonna get this one down to 30 minutes, and it's 44 minutes. I couldn't do it. It's just
the time
too much
matter,
to talk
Tom.
About there's I mean, too the, much to talk about
so if
I don't want to skip things that are important, you know, and right. I don't want to, you know, there's people that do reviews that plug them in and they're like, look, it's charging at 32 amps. This is great. It has a 35 amp. Like I have to just dive into the nitty gritty, show you how to download the app, show you how to initiate the app and pair it to your thing. Show you what features work in the app. Do my, you know, automatic restart test, freeze the thing, drop the connectors. That all, it takes time.
Right. I just want to say, it's like for those viewers or listeners who have never seen Tom's reviews on the State of Charge YouTube channel, he's very thorough. He puts things in a freezer overnight to check the stiffness and the cold drop tests into the whole gamut. He knows what he's doing and done a great job of producing these kind of review videos for some time. So definitely, if you're in the market for a charger, go check out that channel.
And the great thing about it, Tom, is I get feedback from all the companies now that they, and this is what I was hoping for originally, but I never even thought it would get to this level. companies now are designing their chargers around my reviews. I've had at least six different companies say, we're doing a redesign because you found a failure here. Emporia, which I love, is actually, it's right over here. I think it's a great unit. The connector holster, you can see that connector just dangling up in the air. It's a horrible connector holster. And I killed them on that. And they're like, Tom, you're right. We're going to make a new connector holster. So like companies are literally changing their product based on the things that I find, which is really, to me, rewarding. And that makes me want to dig deeper. Okay, what test can I do next? How can I beat the shit out of this thing even more so we find even more problems with it? That's all right, Dom. We're not being censored.
I think if people are really in market, they'll watch an hour long video.
Yeah.
What I always tell everyone on my team is make the video long enough to fully explain what you're trying to share.
Yeah.
And don't
worry, it just takes me long to do it.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort, but like no one else is doing what you're doing.
I show you how to hardwire it because all these come with plugins. So I literally open the case and show you, okay, if you want to hardwire it, you got to remove these things here. This is where the wire is going to get landed. It just takes time. But I was so like, I have to try to get this to half an hour. And then I was like, my first cut was 58 minutes. I'm like, all right, I got to get this down a little bit more. And I did, but I got it to like 44 minutes.
All right.
But look forward for that. The Evo Charge review is coming up today or tomorrow, guys.
Awesome. All right. So, okay. As many of you know, I do not own an EV at the moment. So
here we go.
So last fall, I sold my Chevy Spark EV that I bought 3 years ago with 9,000 miles on it for $9,000. And Carvana was offering me almost $15,000. And it seemed like a no-brainer to sell it after, you know, 3 years and 20 some thousand miles, whatever it was. I think it had 32,000 miles on it at that point. So unfortunately, that also meant going without an EV for a while, which sucks. So I decided that since used car prices are so high, it makes some sense to buy new, which I've never done before. So really only the Chevy Bolt EV fits my budget. And then really only with the IRA incentives Inflation Reduction Act incentives. It took a time for the eligibility for that those programs to be made clear. And before the new year, if you bought a Bolt, you'd only get half of the $7,500 credit. Or no, you wouldn't get any because it wasn't part of the, right, they'd gone over their cap. And so there was like no tax credit money. And then, so in the new year, we thought there'd be like half of that because we don't know if the battery, minerals in the battery, you know, meet the criteria yet. But so they haven't finished finalizing the rules. So there's this like January, February area where the Chevy Bolt is, you know, eligible for the full $7,500 tax credit. So that's what I was looking at. If you bought a, so I decided anyway to wait until the new year to buy. So, well, turns out cheap Chevy Bolts are not easy to find in January. We're not easy to find. So with this incentive now available, a lot of people were in the market. Supply was already tight. And then I learned that they changed the nature of the tax credit from a refundable one to a non-refundable one. And then I realized that I didn't really pay enough in taxes to really take much advantage of the credit anyway, which, you know, so that made me look at the used market. And so last week I decided I should get a used Chevy Bolt EV because those prices have come down some, or I could go with a used Tesla if I could find a decent deal. So long story short, Kyle was tired of me, or he's tired of this Dominic with no EV yet storyline. So after the show last weekend, we hung out on the online studio and, you know, he talked me out of a Bolt and into a Tesla. And then we basically looked at all the long range Tesla Model 3s for sale in America without any accident history and like salvage titles and a long range. And we finally found one. And so now I've put down the deposit. I have insurance. This car is in north of Chicago. I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, so I'm leaving this afternoon to go to Wakanda, Illinois, and I hope to be at the dealer first thing Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. And let's see. So this is going to be a 2018 Tesla Model 3 rear-wheel drive with long range with, we think, FSD. The dealership
has FSD, full FSD.
Right. The dealership was kind of unaware of what FSD was. It doesn't. They don't really get a lot of electric cars.
It's a in Ford
Wakanda, Illinois, apparently. Yeah. yet. So let's see what else was there about this car. Oh yeah, it was the price we settled $31,900. It's got 44,000 miles on it, I think, around that area. And so that's that's basically the deal. And
yeah,
so,
the 2018 black on black sport wheel, right, you know, long range rear wheel drive, which is the real efficient big battery. I've owned the exact spec car, 2018 black on black long range with sport wheels. I loved that car. Always went so far on a charge, charging at 250 kilowatts and above. You know, a regular autopilot, whether you choose to use FSD or not, that's going to help you if you ever need to back out of the car. The car was priced as if it didn't have FSD included in it. The dealer had no idea what it was. We checked. We have the screenshot that shows it's included. It's not a subscription. And so I think you just totally nailed it on this purchase. Clean car, no accident history, 40-something thousand miles, and you're going to get it tomorrow.
Ooh, I'm so, it's been an anxiety and anxious week, let me tell you.
Two questions I have to Kyle, mostly because Kyle knows the real nuts and bolts of Teslas more than I think both of us do. Kyle, I thought the full self-driving computer was a new computer that they added in 2019. So this person would have had his computer updated, right?
Upgraded? It's either been updated or it hasn't yet, but it'll be eligible for it.
And the second question is, I thought FSD wasn't transferable.
Nope, totally transferable. If you buy it with the car, it sticks with the car. The only time it's not is if it goes back to Tesla, they then can remove it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep, yeah, but okay, good. Okay. The way Dom's buying it, fully in there, fully all transferable. Good. Yep. And honestly, the car is a good deal, even if it doesn't have FSD, because it was the cheapest, clean, long range Model 3 with under 50,000 miles in the entire country.
That's nuts. 31 grand is great.
But it has FSD. So we're like, holy smokes, just go for it. And so really great. And, you know, it still has battery and powertrain warranty for another 4 years or so. And you're pretty much good to rock and roll. Drive that thing, enjoy it. And I've convinced Dom to start making a little bit of a video with it, with his road trip and everything. So we'll maybe see that on a new channel at some point soon. Right, Dom? Can we announce anything?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have a name for it. Actually, if you have a YouTube channel name suggestions for me, please throw them in the chat. That'd be super. We were thinking, what was it? Dom Electrified, I think it was.
Yeah, I wanted to call you Tesla Dominic, but he said no.
No. I want to keep it open because so my idea is keep this like for maybe 2 years, maybe three. I don't know. So we're looking. Part of this, the rationale for this decision had to do with depreciation, and so a brand new Bolt would depreciate quite a bit, where a used Tesla, the depreciation might not be. You know, I might be able to sell this car for practically the same money after 2 years if I don't put a lot of miles on it. With the FSD,
depending
on what the market happens. You know, the market's unpredictable. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. But you're not going into this planning on selling it in a couple of years, probably, right? You're probably thinking that you're going to hold on to this for a little while, no?
I'm not sure, you know? Because it depends on a lot of things, like my income levels in over the next couple of years. Because I have enough money stashed away to make my payments for a while, no problem. But you know, I gotta get serious about my financial situation.
He's got to get that YouTube channel up and going. You got to pump the content, daily videos, put ads every 30 seconds.
ads. I hate that so much. Oh my God. That's why I like watching your channel or Tom's State of Charge channels. We don't, there's no mid rolls. And I think we have them. We struggled for a long time with the mid rolls on this channel. And we finally.
Man, then YouTube's breaking because I put mid rolls all in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I did see some on yours recently, on one of yours, but I know what happens. There's a YouTube thing.
Yeah. If you use ad blocker, we don't make money, which means we will eventually not be able to make videos for you.
Right. Don't do that. Don't do
that. Support creators. I mean, at the end of the day, I'd like to say I work hard. I have a lot of fun. Yes. Working hard, but ultimately we do it because we can make money on YouTube.
Well, you have to be able to make money. You know, I think people understand that.
Yep.
Right.
And Dom, since Dom was going through this whole thing, I've been checking all the local New Jersey dealers to see if I could find Dom a bolt. And there's not a single bolt on the lot in any dealership in New Jersey. There's a couple bolt EUVs, but no bolt EVs. And by a couple, I mean like a couple. I think there's like three in the state of New Jersey. Many of the dealers here are marking up the bolts over MSRP. So you can't even walk in and order one without $3,000 over MSRP. But I found a couple of dealers that would order one at right. MSRP. And,
right.
you know, here in New Jersey, you get the $7,500 federal tax credit. I think you don't have to take possession of it before March 1st. You just have to order it, right, for it to qualify for the federal tax credit. You just have to.
I don't know. It's hard to get a straight answer.
I just had to have an order. In any event, so, and just doing this research and going around, I started thinking about it myself because it's $7,500 federal tax credit. And New Jersey has a $4,000 cash on the hood point of sale rebate for EVs less than $45,000. So if I were to get a Bolt 1LT that with no options, which is mm-hmm. fine, it's $26,500,
yeah.
okay, all in. And New Jersey has no sales tax so on EVs. So $26,500, $7,500, $4,000. It's $15,000 all in for a brand new Bolt EV here. So I'm actually thinking about going and buying one. And I'm going to make a decision this week. So by next week's podcast, I'll either have an order and I'll hold up the order sheet here for a Bolt or I'll have decided not to.
But, or right. you'll be in the Bolt. You'll just find one.
The dealers that I talked to said, look, if we order you one now, you're looking at a minimum of 3 months.
Yeah.
Is what they told me.
You have to be forced to only DC fast charge it at 50 kilowatts.
Well, there'll be plenty of that. You know that. But I've talked about this on the podcast a lot. I told everybody in the spring, I'm going to decide which truck I'm going to keep. So if I do want to sell one of the trucks, we would need a second vehicle and this would work just fine. I mean, one of the problems I do have having only two pickup trucks is my wife works in New York City. She takes public transportation, takes a train, but on occasion she has to drive in the city. The parking lots will not allow either one of these trucks in their decks. And as a matter of fact, last week I told you I went to New York to meet the GM's EV Live event. And I called a deck ahead of time. I said, I have a Rivian R1T. It's a pickup truck. It's a midsize pickup truck. I'm going to park it here. The person said, yeah, you can come in. I paid ahead online. I used Spot Hero. You can pay ahead of time for the thing. I showed up. I'm pulling in the lot. The guy comes running out. Nope, no pickup trucks. Get out. Now the event starts in 15 minutes. I'm in New York City. I actually convinced the guy to let me park there. It took a while and my wallet had to come out. But he did let me park there. But when Meredith comes to this, goes into the city, she cannot get a lot that lets her park the Rivian. So it's a problem now that we only have two pickup trucks. They will not let pickup trucks park in the lots. And it's weird because they used to allow it. It seemed like this started happening during COVID because she always used to take the Toyota Tacoma into the city. And my Rivian's like 4 inches longer than a Tacoma. And when I roll into the parking deck, I put it all the way down to kneel mode, you know, like to the lowest. So it's small. It's not a big, tall truck. It's not going to hit any of the beams or anything, but in any event, so it might work for us to do that, to have one truck and a Bolt. So, next week I'll make an announcement. I'm either in or out of it. I decided that I'm going to make that decision this week. So
Larry has a good idea
Bolt before Dom.
No, you'll have a Bolt before me, but you won't have an EV before me, unless there's a problem tomorrow, because we're worried about how long it takes to transfer the title. So the car will let me charge at a supercharger. I've got my credit card in the app already. Well, but
at that point, you own the car. You're stuck with it. They're not taking it back.
Oh yeah, no, they're not taking it back.
You just got to sit there and wait for Tesla to add it to your account.
Right, I could be in Chicago for days.
Yeah, you could be.
All right. So I need to get back actually Monday morning. My wife has an appointment at 6:30 a.m. on Monday morning. So I need to be back here Sunday night. So it's going to be a drive. I'm like driving.
Yeah. Full send, maybe you're going to be riding it down to zero using 250 kilowatt charging, hopping chargers.
Right. I'm going to out of spec it. Kyle Connor all the way.
That's right.
Under 5% at the supercharger.
Yeah, if you arrive at 5% or greater, that's a fail. You need to run this thing all the way out. No, really. Actually, the long range pack's 5% plug-in's fine.
Rate my supercharge.
Larry, why will I be sorry? Tell me why will I be sorry? I know it's a lower trim, but
heated seats. It just comes with a lot of extra. So I like the base 2 LT is pretty nice. I was thinking the base 1 LT with there's one package on it that adds heated seats and heated steering wheel.
Yeah, that's $1,000 for the heated, and it's really just heated seats.
You live in New Jersey, though. You need heated seats.
I know, but I have a heated garage here, so. But the only option I was thinking about is $495. It's a package that you get the rear cross traffic alert, which is really good for parking lots when you're backing up, and that's only $495. I might take that box, but not the. I'm not going to pay $1,000 for heated seats. And
that's the package I didn't want. I don't really? Like all the beeping at me. And
no, that's good in a parking lot. Better backing
a beep than a smash.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the cars are so quiet backing up. I think it's a good buy. But the point of this would be for me to get the Bolt for as cheap as possible. That was why I was going to do a 1LT. No options. It's $15,000 exactly out the door.
Like, that's a great car for $15,000. Oh my God. That's a terrific car for $15,000.
Yeah, think about it. That's ridiculous. So that might happen this week, guys. We'll see. What color should I get? I'm really not decided. Ice blue is okay. The gray ghost seems okay.
I don't know. Yeah, the gray ghost is all right. I don't like the dark blue metallic so much.
And that's like $1,500. I'm not paying for paint.
I'm only getting the colors. I like the white and black. You know, I like the white ones, at least in pictures. I haven't seen one in real life yet, actually.
Well, we'll see. Next week, I might have a contract to hold up next week. We'll see.
So Smidge 204 has a great suggestion here. We need a Kyle Connor bobblehead to stick on the dashboard for inspiration while driving. And I'm 100% agree.
You can have a bobblehead made of you. There's like sites online where you send them your picture and they make them.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't think I would ever want that.
You might not have a choice. We might make it and give it away.
That would be the worst thing to ever happen. Is like
just order a lot of like 20 of them and give them away on Twitter.
Oh my gosh, that would be like, what worse thing could you imagine showing up at your doorstep other than just me, a bobblehead of me? That's so bad. But okay. I do want to thank someone. I don't know if they watch this show or from our YouTube channel or something. Someone must have found my address. Not hard to find me.
And you have it right there.
What was that?
You have it right there, what you're talking about, about?
No. Oh, okay. Just showed up. I don't have it with me now. But randomly, someone sent me some model Twizzies. And don't know who they came from or where. But they're like not the little one. They're like really nice ones. So thank you very much, whoever sent them.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty cool. That's very nice. There's nice people out there in the world, you know? All right. So let's talk about some news, I guess.
Just to interject. Can we just go through your logistical plan for getting your Model 3 really quick? So we're finishing up the show.
Yeah.
What time are you going to the airport?
My sister's coming to the airport, pick me up at 2, go to the airport. I go to Atlanta. There's a couple hours of layover. And I land, I think, at 8:30, which is a bit late to go pick it up tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stay overnight and then hit the dealership first thing in the morning.
But are you going to stay overnight in Wakanda? So you're going to like Uber
10 minutes
up there
from the dealership. I'm trying to leave as little to chance or fate as possible.
Really. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I told Dom that something will go wrong. You're buying a used Tesla from a Ford dealer. There's going to be some hiccup somewhere along the way.
Right. So I've got the check right here.
Very nice. Yeah. So you're going to pay for it. And then you're going to, I guess at that point, you can get a piece of paper. You're going to submit it through the Tesla app, change the name in the car, show your ID. And then people are saying within just a few minutes, it'll be added to your account. This will be an interesting process.
So recent buyers of used Teslas said it's pretty quick now, but I think on the app, it says like it takes 2 or 3 days, but that is not... It should. If it's 2 or 3 days, I'm in deep doo doo.
Yep. If it's in 2 or 3 days, you'll be exploring Chicago by way of level 2 chargers.
Sounds like a blast. Well, right. Apparently, it has.
We got to maybe send you a CCS adapter.
No, it has adapters.
Well, car.
This won't. It won't. Mm.
Can't so the use car it. Doesn't support CCS. He'll have to bring it to get the charge port swap because it's 2018.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. So newer Teslas support CCS charging with a CCS adapter. It's like a $250 adapter, and you can use Electrify America, EVgo, et cetera.
Right.
But your car's a 2018, just like my Tesla is older, my Model 3.
Okay.
And you can either for like $100 and something just swap the charge port out yourself because it's not under warranty. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And then you're CCS enabled, or you can bring it to Tesla. And I think in just a few weeks, they're going to start upgrading the older cars to support CCS, and it should be just a few $100.
Okay, well, we'll see what that is, because that sounds like a great new video for my new YouTube channel. all right. Okay, so the big product news of the week has to be the debut of the 2024 Mercedes e-Sprinter. Of course, Mercedes has already been making an electric version of its popular Sprinter van, but this is a huge improvement, and this one will be made in the US as well as Europe. And it's going to be sold here first. So, Tom, you wrote this up. They didn't just throw more batteries at the problem, did they? Tell us about this thing and that now has a decent amount of range.
So they did throw more batteries.
Right, they did. But that's
not, that's not the only thing they did. They developed a whole new powertrain, much more efficient electric motor with better cooling. They have their new powertrain. They call it the EATS. Powertrain with an integrated electric motor in the rear axle. The previous version e-Sprinter, I'm pretty sure the motor was up front, right? This one, it's in the rear, so it's the first one. It's rear-wheel drive only. It's not coming to the U.S. with an all-wheel drive. And I actually talked to Mercedes about this. I was like, well, initially, right? And I think they were kind of like, no, it's not gonna, like, period. So in any event, it has a 113 kilowatt-hour battery. That's the existing e-Sprinter has a 58, I think, kilowatt hour battery. So it's double the size of the existing battery. The WLTP range was, God, I think it was 248. That's the combined, the city WLTP was 311 miles. And Mercedes did a recent test with this from Stuttgart to Munich and back. And it was a observed test by TÜV, T-U-V. It wasn't like Mercedes did this themselves. They had a official in the car where they monitored, they fully charged it, they measured it, how much energy went in, they did the drive and so forth. And it went 295 miles, and much of this was on the highway. And it wasn't high speeds on the highway, but, you know, delivery vans don't drive 90 miles an hour typically. In any event, unless Kyle's driving, I see Kyle shaking his head.
No, I mean, Amazon gets the packages so fast. These guys must just be sending it everywhere.
Well, some companies have like policy where, you know, if you're caught driving more than 65 miles an hour, you get fired. I know I have friends that own vending companies and so forth, and they limit their drivers on how fast they're allowed to drive. But in any event, it's probably going to be EPA range rated, you know, around 225, 230 miles. I mean, compare that to the existing one, which is like, you know, 125 miles, something like that. So this van can work.
It's almost double.
Yeah, this van can really do the initial, the existing e-Sprinter, they never brought to the U.S. It was released in select European markets, really inner city delivery, where the van would just drive to the next stop, and then barely make it back to the depot. So they said, we're not even going to bring this to the U.S. U.S. is too big. The driving demands are too much, so they didn't bring it. But this is going to work. Now you compare it to, you know, the GM's BrightDrop and the Amazon van, and even the Ford E-Transit. The current E-Transit only goes 125 miles. It doesn't really serve too many business uses, in my opinion. They are making a second generation that's going to have a lot more range, but this can work. This can really do a lot of. Can handle a lot of tasks for businesses. It has a 2,624 pound payload. There's two different motors, either 134 horsepower or 201 horsepower. Let me think, just shy of 500 cubic feet of cargo. I think 490 or 488 cubic feet of cargo, which is comparable to the large Ford E-Transit, just about the same size. The standard onboard charger, has a 9.6 kilowatt onboard charger, 40 amps. The standard DC fast charge rate is right out of the box, it'll do 50 kilowatts. If customers want it to do more, they can upgrade that to 115 kilowatt DC fast charging. I don't know what the uptake of that's going to be, because I think most people are going to use this where they're going to charge in their depot overnight on level two. You know, that if you have a delivery van and you're requiring your driver to stop during the day to charge, to DC fast charge somewhere, that is downtime. Even if it charges quickly, that's a loss. You don't want your staff to have to stop for a minimum of a half an hour or 40 minutes at some point. You're losing the vehicles off the road, and you're paying somebody by the hour to sit in a vehicle to charge it. So this most of these are going to be charged at their depot. So I don't know how big the uptake is going to be on the higher DC fast charging, except if it's in the case where they're going to be using this van a lot. Maybe it's a 24-hour use thing where there's deliveries and drivers are coming in and out. And then the company could actually install DC fast charging on the property. It makes financial sense if that's the case, where these are going to just be constantly used like that. So it has MBUX with the Hey Mercedes Hughes. It does OTA updates. What else? So it's made in the U.S. It's made in Charleston, South Carolina.
Right. So, it's rear-wheel drive, you say. It's not all-wheel drive.
It's rear-wheel drive, so it should it's possible that this will qualify for the federal tax credit. So,
oh really? Don't know the price yet. It's going to be under $80,000, or is there a different
price? Hasn't been announced yet. The price hasn't been announced yet.
Okay.
So,
for commercial vehicles, is there a different incentive? Or
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Not dollar-wise, different incentive. I mean.
Right. There are incentives to go electric for commercial applications, though. Right. How cool is this thing?
Yeah.
But look at the back. It looks like, so are they selling it with all this racking in the back?
Yes, I mean, there's tons of different racking options. I couldn't even, they actually didn't include them in the press release. Okay. But I went over to Germany to see this last year, like 5 months ago. I couldn't talk about it, though.
Right.
And they had it all set up with all different configurations and everything. So they're gonna offer different configurations for people.
Yeah, it looks like it's set up really for parcel delivery right out of the gate. So I can see like a lot of businesses getting into that just for that, or I don't know, stripped out. That may be a great camper for some people. It doesn't have the range for like a cross country camping trips maybe so much. But
I don't know. Yeah,
what was that probably? What was the DC fast rate charge again for the higher rate?
115 kilowatt. Standard's 50.
What?
Ooh. A bit on the low side, but
that's like really bad.
Yeah, well, it's not. I don't think people are going to take it. I think most people are going to stick with the 50 kilowatt because these aren't going to be DC fast charged.
When I was driving around Germany, I saw all of these out for testing because they were doing final validation. So I'd roll up chargers next to e-sprinters. They're in all the videos and everything. And it saw like 90 kilowatts on them on average, something like that. And the test drivers are like, don't take photos. Don't take photos. I'm like, I'm taking photos. Sorry. Yeah. Call the polizei.
Call the commissar.
You know, what's funny is like in Germany, they use sprinters so differently. You drive down the autobahns. These things do 100 miles an hour all day long. They're just sitting pegged. Here in the US though, sprinters get really beat up. I mean, people use them hard. So having an electric drivetrain is wonderful. I own a sprinter. I'm so excited about this. Actually, just as you were doing it, I emailed Mercedes and I said, I've got to drive this thing. When's the first test car available? And so, just super cool. Love vans. Love that it's rear-wheel drive, because who doesn't love a good handling van? That's part of it, is how quickly can you deliver your packages? We're going to do a race. We're going to do the e-Transit versus the e-Sprinter package delivery racetrack race simulation. So that'll be a video coming up.
Right on. Sounds great. All right. Anything else we want to talk about the e-Sprinter? You have a Sprinter too, right, Kyle? But yours is all-wheel drive and diesel, but you're familiar with the Sprinter life.
Yeah, love it. I'm a Sprinter fan. And, I won't talk about it. Basically, owning a Sprinter in Colorado sucks. I made a whole video about it.
That's true.
And that's literally your title.
Yeah. Because it's on my personal channel. I don't
owning a Sprinter van in Colorado sucks.
Yes. But
you were just jealous because my last video had sucks in the title. So you had to make a video that said sucks in the title.
I didn't actually think about that. That's pretty funny. It's true. The Mercedes dealer experience is awful. As someone who's purchased Mercedes, it's really bad. And that's not just at one store. That's at multiple stores with multiple viewers buying cars They really have a lot of work to do on their dealer experience. It's not good.
Right. And if you're a luxury brand, you gotta keep that up. I mean, you have to give a good experience because you have some serious competition right now in the luxury end of the market.
I got to tell you, we picked up and a little bit of a side rant, but you know, I was getting my Sprinter service. That's when I made the video. And I watched so many delivery processes of people picking up, you know, $200,000+ G wagons that they spent $70,000 almost over MSRP for. And the way the salesman's treating the customers, I was like, this is not the way it should be. Yesterday, Colton, who runs our out of spec detailing channel, I went with him and his dad, who bought a new Model 3 Performance, to the Loveland Tesla store. That video will go live later today on the reviews channel. We showed up, signed a piece of paper. The car was all set, had the temporary tag. They showed him around the car, super nice, and have a nice day. They were totally expecting us when we showed up. The car was prepped. It was perfect, as good as it can be. And we all left like that was it. And everything was done through the app. It was so easy. So nice. I got to tell you that in general, I have been sort of defending the car dealers over the last few years in a sense, because I do think there's like a need for local dealers and things like that. That was my idea. Recently, though, nope, dealers suck in general. Really do.
Yeah. That's because I don't want to beat up on the dealers. But then I've just gone through like a good 2 months of dealing with dealers.
And dealers suck in general. There's some good ones.
There's some good ones. There's some good people at dealerships that, you know, work at dealerships. But there are
even
some.
Even with Tom's really close dealer who's friends with him, whatever it is, in New Jersey, they had an F-150 Lightning. They called Tom. They said, do you want it? He said, I know someone who wants it. I sent them a credit card deposit. I'm like, I'm in. I want this thing. Sold out from under me. It's just an awful experience no matter which way you go about it.
Right. Okay. So we don't need to spend too much time on this next thing, but I thought it was worth mentioning. So the big news over the past week at Ford is that they are going back to racing Formula One with the successful Team Red Bull. So at first blush, that might seem like an odd decision, especially as it begins offering more and more EVs. But the truth is Ford will be bringing a good bit of that electrification knowledge to the table, and they'll be working on a hybrid powertrain. They've got new rules in Formula One this season that allow for hybrids, and this one will include a 350 kilowatt motor and batteries. So racing programs are a great way to develop technology, and you can bet that some of what they learned at the track will eventually make it into mass market vehicles. So the Ford F-150 Lightning is just one such mass market vehicle. And we've just seen a picture. This is my cue to bring up the thing. Where's Martin when you need him? So we've just seen a picture of CEO Jim Farley teasing the front end of this high performance demonstrator version of the Ford F-150 Lightning. And let me just bring it up here on the screen for y'all so you can see what I'm talking about. Yes, right. And he's there with Daniel Ricciardo, I believe, who's a Formula One driver for Team Red Bull. And let's see. So Ford has built a few demonstrator vehicles like this so far, and they've all been pretty epic in their own way. And I suspect this one will be too. Now, back in the day, Ford made a street performance version of its F-150 pickup truck and called it Lightning. So, Kyle, do you think Ford should take a page out of its own book and make a Lightning?
Yes, and they should call it that. The Ford Lightning.
Right. Ford Lightning. Or in other words, so a performance trim with a more sport-oriented ride and handling. So the F-150 Lightning, which Tom owns, and I'd like to hear your opinion about this too, Tom. You like the way it rides. It's soft, it's cushy. Do you think... Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. There has to be some sacrifice in the ride quality if they're going to really make it, because one of the things that it doesn't do well is handle. You know, it's not, you're plowing into turns and everything. You could feel the weight, you know, it's a compromise. So yeah, I probably wouldn't get the Lightning, or maybe they call it the Lightning Bolt, but in any event, yeah, they could.
Bolt EV.
No, the Lightning Bolt. But in any event, that I probably wouldn't go for it, because this thing is damn fast to begin with. I mean, it's a 4-second pickup truck, for crying out loud.
Right.
That's fine with me. I'll take the fantastic straight line acceleration and lose a little bit in the handling because I'm not going out and racing this thing. I'm not tracking this thing, but on a long trip, in a second, this is the vehicle that I choose out of the garage because it just rides so well. It's so quiet. You don't feel a single bump. I mean, it just eats up everything on the road. Completely different driving experience. Yeah, the Ford Lightning Thunder, maybe. Or Lightning Strike. I like
that's
one.
A good one. That's a good one.
The PF Cutters might have nailed it. I love the balance as it is now. Would I take a little bit more straight line power? Of course. Who wouldn't? You know, there's never too much. But I don't know. I would, it's great that they're doing this. Okay. But I think what we really need Ford to get is work on efficiency and range, you know, and have it even more efficient than it is and go more than 400 miles so that when people are towing, it becomes even more utilitarian. I mean, I'm not downplaying a performance version. That's great. Right. But it wouldn't be what I would take. I've said this a million times. This is a great package as is out of the gate. It doesn't need improvement. I'd take some more range, but that's it.
Right.
What someone really needs to do is to make an F-150 Lightning Raptor and put the big 37s on there, the long travel suspension, the wide body. It would get 3 miles of range, but how sick would it be to see that thing jumping through the air?
Yeah, I know. The suspension would have to be really tough, though, with that weight and the battery underneath when it comes down. Kyle,
It's actually not that much heavier than a normal F-150 by the time you factor in the engine and some other driveline components. I'd have to look at it.
It's 6,700 pounds.
Yeah,
I don't even know what a regular
and it would probably jump pretty well because the center of mass is situated a little bit farther back. So rather than nose diving, every time you see a Raptor R with the V8 jump, it just nose dives down the skull away. This thing could just it'd be so cool. And then you could change the way it jumps by putting more things in the frunk or the bed.
So according to this result, the Ford F-150 Raptor has a curb weight of 5,740 pounds.
So it's 1,000 pounds more than a Raptor.
Yeah.
Right.
Easy.
So it might be
jumps.
Maybe the next generation of Ford F-150 Lightning, because, they're making a whole new platform for this, right? I understand, right? For making a whole new platform for the next.
Well, the next gen. Yeah, the 2025 is going to be next gen.
And, right.
It's perfect to think about it because time-wise, you've got the Lightning came out last year. This year, we've got the Chevy Silverado EV. The 2024, we get the Dodge Ram, Revolution. 2025, we get the next version of the Lightning. So it's like every year we're going to have a completely new. And it's not just going to be the Lightning. Ford hasn't announced this yet, but they're going to have smaller sized electric pickups in 2025 too, I think. I don't know if it's Maverick or
I think they have Ranger. Announced that.
Have they announced the timing yet? I know they're definitely working on it. And
They're definitely working on it.
Yeah. I mean that's going to be killer. Imagine a Maverick, with a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack,
That'd
be killer,
I want a Maverick so bad, like a lot of electric Maverick. I mean even just a regular one I kind of like, but then I don't want to buy gas or burn gas. So I electric versus the Maverick would be so freaking sweet. I could trade my Tesla.
They can't even build the gas ones fast enough.
Right. They can't. I mean, the demand is crazy for them.
Yeah. There's no need for them to electrify it at this moment.
Right. But just to be clear about the high performance Lightning, F-150 Lightning, that's the demonstrator model. We're not saying that they're going to be producing this for consumers yet, or
like
maybe at all.
The 1400 or the drag thing that they built. It's a showcase.
Right. Well, it's just to demonstrate.
Probably, but you never know. Like that, sometimes they come out with something like this, and it's not as crazy like the Mach-E 1400. Like it's just a hopped up version, and then all of a sudden they say, people loved it so much, we're gonna make 2,000 of them or something like that. You don't know. It's possible that they might do a limited edition one and have a small run of them.
So, I think that'd be cool.
I know people will buy them. They could, put 125 grand or something and people will buy them.
We'll probably learn more about this next week, and we can talk about it next show or show after. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it because I'm wondering if they've used the Formula One motors in this demonstrator though. That's kind of what I'm wondering, if they've made a couple of those, or maybe they've put four of them in there, because even like their Mach-E 1400, that was a whole different. It's nothing to do with, not completely unrelated to the powertrain that's in the consumer version of the Mach-E. Yeah. So they could do that here too. We'll have to see.
I have to ask Kyle a question, Dom, before we move on. So, Kyle, so have you ever had any problems with your R1T's cameras at night? All of a sudden, my cameras now at night, there's like no night vision at all. Like when it gets dark and I put in reverse or the front camera, it's just black. And you could see like lights in the distance if there's a car behind me or whatever. But all of a sudden, the camera just doesn't work at night.
So I spent an hour this week talking to the R1 or Rivian software engineers, like a bunch of them, and a lot about charging and some other things. So I'll have some videos coming on that soon. But basically, did you get the new software update?
Not yet, no.
I have it on my truck. I don't know if they put me in like an early batch, but I was like, just put me right up front because I want all the new stuff. And so I don't know if they did or not, or if I was just lucky, but I have it and I haven't driven it. I drove it at night before and never had an issue. I haven't tried it on the new software.
So you never heard of anybody having that? It's weird. It just started like 4 days ago. I pulled into the garage one night.
Did you reset the truck?
What's that?
Did you reset the truck?
I haven't reset it, no.
So you just hold the hazard and the left scroll wheel for like a minute.
And try it out. I'll try it, yeah. It just... the cameras work perfect during the day. They just, at night, it's just black. So,
Weird. Yeah, no, but I since we're on the topic, I want to say how awesome and upfront the Rivian engineers were with me, and how much they value our feedback, which I thought was great. And yeah, I'll put together something, probably not a reviews video, probably just an Out of Spec podcast on it, but a lot of improvements to the charging performance in this newest software, a lot.
Well, so. Needed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the delayed cooling is now kicking on way sooner. And they're really, you know, using software to maximize their hardware package. There's still some limitations, of course, but I really appreciated how upfront they were with me on the whole situation. And I'll have more to share soon.
Right on. So moving on to our next subject. It's been painful to watch the Nissan electric vehicle program stumble through the past few years. But finally, the Ariya is shipping in the U.S. That's the replacement or the next vehicle after the Leaf. But the supply is tight. The pricing is less competitive than you might expect. But now Nissan and Renault. So Nissan and Renault have had a strategic alliance for some time. But ever since, even before Carlos Ghosn was arrested for alleged financial wrongdoing, and he was the CEO at Nissan at one point, there's been a lot of friction there. And it wasn't as beneficial to the partners maybe as it could have been. Now, finally, it seems like they've renegotiated the terms of their relationship with hopefully the effect of expanding Nissan's focus on EVs. So Nissan's taking a 15% stake in Renault's EV development unit called Ampere with the express intent to grow its EV lineup around the world. So this includes the possibility of selling some Renault product with the Nissan badge. So, and the Renault is not sold in the US. But so now we don't know what markets this might happen in. But Kyle, besides a Twizy, are there any electric Renaults that you'd like to see over here? A Twingo, perhaps?
Well, actually, I really love the Megane E-Tech, which is built on the Ariya chassis. I have a review of that car up. And those cars are sister cars. I think the E-Tech's just a little bit shorter than the Ariya, but same platform. Loved that car. Thought it was really good. Looked amazing. That car would do so well here. They could actually put that under the Infiniti brand. But also, speaking of a brand that has no direction whatsoever, and I think, like Tesla's like, okay, we're getting all these BMW owners, Audi people driving to everyone's leaving Infiniti. They don't have anyone going to them because honestly, objectively, all of their products really suck. And so they really need something. And I thought the Ariya would make for a perfect Infiniti. The Megane E-Tech would make for a perfect small Infiniti, or they just need to shut down that brand. I don't know. But that Megane E-Tech would be wonderful here. Of course, Twizzies aren't in new production anymore, but
it's sad.
I would love to have some new Twizzies over here. Love mine, of course. And yeah, pretty cool. And now, you know, so that's good news. The other good news is Stellantis sounds like they're going to bring over the AMI for ride sharing.
Ah.
Or something. So that means we'll have AMIs here. So I got to have a Twizy and an AMI.
Sure.
So either way, this is only good news.
for Kyle.
Right.
Or for people, you know, actually, so I'm thinking, so Renault has a lot of other electric products like the Zoe. So that's just a niche.
Zoe and Leaf are the, what's the benefit?
I think Zoe's a bit nicer than Leaf. And it's a bit smaller too, I believe.
No. It's not smaller Zoe's a little bit smaller, but it's so ugly. I really don't like the Zoe personally. I mean, I've done Nürburgring laps in Zoe and like done all the wrong things with it. And I have a friend who only has one with 22 kilowatt AC charging. I don't even think hers has 43 kilowatt, like the early ones. Right. And she road tripped it all the way from Zurich to the Nürburgring using AC charging, which is really funny.
It has a small battery and it can do 22 kilowatts, so it probably charged pretty quickly.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So you just like stopped and charged like 50 times. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's not that exciting of a car.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what else. This is where we miss Martin because he knows, I'm sure, right off without even thinking about it, the entire Renault lineup, right? So. I looked at it last night somewhat, but and they have some cool cars coming too that I was like I think they're going to do another version of the R5 possibly coming up, which is like,
well, they got to do something, that's for sure. They just need to reboot. They need to bring the Twizy back, reboot the Twizy. Thank you.
All right. Let's see where we're on time. Okay, a couple of headlines before we finish up here. The 2023 Lexus RZ 450e pricing has been revealed,
and it's terrible.
$59,650.
You'd be so dumb to buy that car.
And
yeah, but it has 7 kilowatt AC charging, Kyle.
Wow, what a machine!
So 2015.
Just to remind people what the RZ 450e looks like, it should be up there on your screen now. Right, $59,000. So what is this playing against in this neighborhood here?
Model Y. Just go buy a Tesla. I don't hate to be that guy. Buy a Model Y, buy an ID4,
Model Y. The Model Y is not, I think, a very good looking vehicle, but you know, that I don't know. I have problems with this 450e, the front end of it. I think if you get
a single tone, it wouldn't be so bad.
I can't. And just like technically, all the other things. So there's Tesla. This is a lot cheaper than the BMW. But Aria e-Force, all-wheel drive coming out soon. Also,
well, GV60, someone just commented, that's a luxury brand, right? Yeah. In direct competition.
That's direct competition. I would say Lyric.
I've never played around with a Lyric. I just haven't had experience with it yet, but it doesn't look good to me.
Right. Okay. Right.
Do you like the Lyric, Tom?
I like the Lyric. I'm not crazy about the back end, but I like the Lyric, and I sat in it super comfortable. Really, like if you like Cadillac style, it's that real like classic Cadillac kind of, you know, American style. It's different than European and Asian style. I thought it was great sitting in it. You know, the launch version went for $59,900, and that, you know, I think that's, the pricing is different now. I think they had to raise pricing or whatever, but sitting in it, I was saying $60,000 for this. A Model Y costs $60,000. You know, this was at the time, and I'm like, it's ridiculous. Like how you could say that these two are the same price, because it was just so much more luxury and so much more comfortable. Now the Model Y might be a better electric vehicle, you know, than the Lyric, but the Lyric was a better vehicle. It's like, it's different, you know, to me, you know, the electric bits Tesla's got, you know, I'm sure has GMB, although we haven't driven it yet. We haven't really done a lot of things with it yet, but we know Tesla's on their game with regards to electric, you know, the electric specific parts, but the Lyric, I'm telling you, I sat in it. I was like, this is really nice, you know, and it's got good specs, good range, good charging. And you look
and
at the-
it's captured an audience.
It's nice and quiet inside.
We lost Tom.
You lost your sound for a second, Tom.
Your sounds.
Okay. I think it's- But the Lyric is pretty nice inside, and it's nice and quiet. And I'm really anxious, Kyle, actually, for you and Tom actually to get some seat time in that thing.
Like, I've asked, yeah.
Oh, here's, I think
think we can find one on Turo before GM or a viewer, because there's no press cars out there. I was told our press car was on the way here, hasn't shown up. So I'm going to try and rent one. I'm going to try and go to a dealer and drive one. They've been at dealers here. It just seems crazy. So I would prefer not to take the car from the automaker. I'd rather go rent one or borrow one from a viewer and do all the stuff. There's an Aria a viewer is bringing to us to review, because there's no press cars out there yet either. So we're going to borrow a viewer's car for all the tests. And what else do we have going on with all that? Yeah, BZ4X, back to this RZ topic. So someone at Lexus drove the BZ4X and thought, this is so good, we need to make a Lexus version.
Right.
And then someone else at Lexus thought, this is so good, we need to put a manual transmission in it. Did you guys see that? We talked about it on a show. Yeah. They're going to make a manual RZ.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, not good.
They've really nailed electrification. They know exactly what the.
Welcome.
I heard a rumor, and I don't know how true it is. One of our viewers reached out to us, and I haven't said anything because I really wanted to go test it, but I can't. I keep trying to get out to California to borrow a BZ4X. Apparently, they have a DC fast charging limit over a 24-hour period of time. So this dude was driving up I-95 and was charging in South Carolina. I don't remember the exact story. And as he was charging, he went to go, I guess, plug in his car at the next station. And it said, sorry, you've reached your limit. You have to wait 24 hours. I don't know if it's true. I don't know what
well, you have to get one to try that.
I know.
That would be, yeah. Oh man. It's, yeah. Okay. I don't want to bang on Toyota too much, but
planning to confirm it. And the best part is Toyota's like, Kyle, you can borrow BZ4X anytime. I'm like, thank you for not watching any of our shows.
So that's about our time here. But I just want to mention before we leave that the non-Tesla supercharger pilot program has expanded to Australia. So if you're in Australia, you can look forward to charging your non-Tesla at a supercharger. Faraday Future. FF91 will finally go into production in March. They say.
Oh, well, really?
Don't hold your breath. That's just one of the headlines. I just wanted to just mention that.
That's a big step. If it goes into production, that's actually amazing that they would have made it.
I mean, it would be. Yeah, it would be. It'd be great to see. It's just after so many false starts at this point.
Okay, fair point.
Remember,
right, produce more than five.
Yeah. Right. Because a few weeks ago, we talked about the solar car. What was that?
Sonos?
No, the other one. Going into production at Valmet Automotive in Finland.
Oh, the Sonos Sion.
No, it's the other one, because Lightyear. Oh,
Lightyear. That's what we just talked about.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that.
I said that they went into production and then it went out of production.
Sorry. I'm like trying to do sometimes I miss the conversation.
We have to pay the manufacturer. We have to pay this company to make these. We can't just make them, sell them, and then give them the money after we have the money in our pockets. So, unfortunately.
Right. And one final thing. Genesis begins selling EVs in Colorado, expanding its EV sales footprint. So finally, at least that's the problem. You know, the Hyundai Group's got great vehicles, but man, we need them in all 50 states.
Sales, service, and software support of those vehicles, really bad. The vehicles themselves, really good. What's funny, my mom drives a GV60. She loves it. Really, truly loves that car. So she's thrilled with it. And her purchase experience was actually good. But she was in one of, I think, three states at launch that she could buy it in.
Right. That's kind of crazy. But anyway, so this should be an interesting week.
Before we cut out, Tom, I want to make sure everybody knows I'm giving away another charger. I'm doing one every month. I gave away two already. And now this month I'm giving away the Grizzly Smart, which you can see right there.
Oh, yeah.
And it is. It's a 40-amp smart charger, plugs in NEMA 1450. If you want to have a chance to win it, go over to my Twitter at Tomalog. Retweet the announcement and you'll be put in the pool to win it. I'll announce it on March 1st.
Awesome. March 1st, Tom's Twitter, at Tomalog. This was 2 M's. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them on the Inside EVs forum podcast thread or on our YouTube or Twitch comment sections. If you like the show, or even if you did like the show, please give us a thumbs up.
You don't have to like it to give us a like.
Right. If you're watching this on YouTube, maybe you just feel sorry for me. I don't know.
Tom gets a dollar for every like we get. That's how he gets paid.
Right. Now he's got to buy a Tesla. So really hit that like button.
Right. So don't forget, you can find and follow our panelists on Twitter. Follow Tom Ologny at Tom Olog. That's with two M's. Martin Lee, when he's here and when he's not here, is at EV News Daily. And Kyle Connor is at It's Kyle Connor. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications, and we'll thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you all again next week.
Cheerio.
Ciao. All right, here we go. And
Dom's got to figure out here, how though. To end the show. There oh, jeez. We're still live, Dom.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.